Welcome to the Raising Anchor Soccer Show, hosted by yours truly, Matt Entrekin, and of course, my handsome co-host, Mr. Jason Carey. Jason, it's been a minute since we've done this. The studio is in shambles after it was co-opted by my son as a makeshift bedroom over the Christmas break. It's been a minute since we've done this. I'm sure I didn't toggle a button somewhere or flip a switch that we'll find out later in post-production. But my friend, how have you been?
Doing great. Looking forward to get back into it, you know, for this new season that's coming up ahead.
Getting into the saddle. Do you feel like there's something that you learned over the holidays? Is there a New Year's resolution that we need to air out here on the air?
I don't really like resolutions so much as more of like I've made myself a list of some things that I kind of was already continuing to or at least starting to work on last year that I'm just going to kind of keep working on.
I mean, my resolution was really simple. I'm not going to pick fights when fans are incorrect about our beloved Rhode Island FC Online anymore. I'm going to stop it. If they come to me, I'm not going to fall for the traps anymore. I'm not going to get baited by it and then spend way too much time.
No more rage bait for you?
I'm going to try. I mean, resolutions are not, I'm not exactly one that sticks to resolutions, unfortunately. So we'll see how long I can last. But nevertheless, it's going to be some fun. But hey, speaking of New Year, it's a new year. It's new us. And there's been some changes. I mean, right now, as people are like, there's nothing changing, Matt. What are you talking about? But there are some changes here. We have gone from rap to RAS. And it's a big deal.
Razzmatazz?
We already may have our first merchandise ready for the razzmatazz here. But yes, Raising Anchor Podcast is evolving, Jason. It's evolving into the Raising Anchor Soccer Show. And there's some changes behind this. And we kind of, there was some foreshadowing at the end of last season. Some plans were in place. There was some strategizing going on as we thought, how did we want to kind of set ourselves up for the 2026 season? And long story short, if you haven't been following along on our social media, we've now joined the wonderful people at WBOB 990, where we're going to be on the radio waves-ish, and I say ish, specifically on Tuesdays and Saturdays. We don't know the programming slot yet for exactly our timing. We could be an end of the night show. We could be slap dab in the middle of your commute. Not quite sure where that will land, but yeah, there's going to be some changes. So we're moving from a traditional long-winded format podcast into a tightly controlled, laser-specific, make our sponsors happy radio show. And I'm all about it.
Yeah, I think there'll be a little growing pains, but we'll get it figured out.
Yeah, and so listen, we're going to do this once. We may do it a couple of times, but just to walk listeners through what is changing and what isn't changing, here's the big things that you need to know and keep track of. So one, yes, there will be modifications. We will be plugging in breaks and inserts for ads, for sponsor reads. I'm sorry, but that's just the way the world works sometimes, and you got to roll with the punches. And of course, we will be a shorter show. So I know there are people that are on both sides of the fence of this, Jason. Some will say, hey, you know, I really love the long format. It helps me get through my workday. Some say it helps me go to sleep. And then others complain online and say, I don't have the attention span for this long of a show. I know you're on this side of it, but if you were listening to the show, which would you rather have? Would you rather have a 48-minute show or an hour and 48-minute show?
I feel like it's changed over time. I used to love super long format stuff, and now that I find myself with less and less time, I think I have a little bit more appreciation for like nice, tight kind of shows.
So you're in that TikTok phase of give me the 15-second hypercut and let me move on to the next.
Maybe not so much TikTok, but you know, hour and a half to 3 hour podcasts. Maybe don't always have time for those, but sometimes a nice 45 to an hour.
That's why speed 2 exists, my friend. You got to get with the speed 2. But so while that will be the things changing, you know, as much as you love the sound of our voice, all I can say is put us on a repeat maybe. So then if that's what is kind of changing, what are some of the ways that we're going through the show here, Jason, to kind of get people ready for how we're going to change the format too? Because it's not just the time length of the show itself.
Yeah, so we're going to kind of switch things around with the show here. You know, we have Thursday recap preview show is going to become a, you know, review Monday show. And then for the new Thursday show, it's going to be more of a preview mailbag kind of variety hour. Obviously, with multi-game weeks, that might change a little bit, but you know, that's not every week.
So. Yeah. So basically the Thursday show is becoming the Monday show. The Monday show is becoming something like the Thursday show. And both of these shows for WBOB will be on Tuesday and Saturday. So If you can make sense of that and keep track of it, more power to you. It will all make sense in time. But what is important here is that you know what's not changing. And that is that for most part, this is still a podcast that is now being set up for this radio format. So we'll still be live on Monday nights and Thursday nights at the same time that you know and love us. And we'll still also be uploading all of our content to our podcast streaming services across the web space. So what that means for you is if you don't want the ads, specifically around watching or listening to us on WBOB, you can still catch us on our live streams. Those we will put a break in it, but there will not be an actual ad read. And then, of course, when we do the streaming parts of it, I can't promise that since we're already taking the time and effort that we won't eventually cut ad reads into it, as we have had sponsors reach out and ask us about programming for the show. So if you don't want to listen to it with ads, the best bet might be watching to it live. And fortunately, that might be the new future for it as we go here. And then also, we will still continue providing all of our coverage when it comes to the exclusive interviews we do, the insider content that we create, and that will also be on all of our streaming. So basically, everything that you already love about us, it's not changing. Just the release dates for, again, the ad parts. If you already follow us along with us on our live nights, nothing will be changed for you there. So just get your comfy pants on and sit back and listen to Jason talk to you about why the 3-5-2 is still going to be the superior formation here in 2026. But Jason, you know, I've already gotten a couple people that know about this. They've asked us, why are we doing this? What have you been telling people when they ask what is going on here?
I mean, one of the things here is just to kind of test if we can actually do this, to see if this is something that, you know, we enjoy. One thing that I think we pride ourselves is kind of always trying to push ourselves forward, right?
Yeah. No, I agree 100%. And like you said, kind of in that direction of moving things forward, we want growth right now. And, you know, we don't normally talk about this stuff because we try to keep it humble. But, you know, we looked through some of the statistics, we looked through some of the performance ratings, and we didn't realize that we are officially the number two consumed Rhode Island sports podcast in the state. So for a podcast in Rhode Island about Rhode Island, we're the number two in the industry here. And we've worked really hard to be that. And we're honored by all of the fans that continue to listen to us and give us that accreditation, if you will. But for all of that work and for all of the effort and for all the time that we've put into this, this is still kind of a hobby. And, you know, when I look at the person above us being Kevin McNamara, who's with WPRO, he has his own sports hour talk. He's a name brand within, specifically more often, the college basketball scene and the baseball scene, but he's a name brand. And like, for all the work we're there, like, there's still a huge gap for us to get to. And it would be nice if we could at least break even or maybe even be incentivized. So we want to explore this as an opportunity. You know, Jason, I don't know if we've ever shared the numbers with listeners. We always talk a big game, but, you know, for those that may hear this episode one day, maybe not, we've had a fantastic 2025. Like, I should put the Spotify rap for creators out there, but we had over 700,000 minutes consumed by our listenership. We had a 238% increase in listenership, and that's more than one episode, by the way, buddy. We had that over the year. We're a top five podcast on Spotify by consumption in their platform. So that tells me there's 95% of people out there that did like one episode, it wasn't for them, and they just gave up, because I don't feel like it's that hard to get people to engage with your content. And then, you know, but my favorite thing here, and I want to ask you this question, is within Spotify Wrap, it tells us our top five artists' average combination of our listenership. So it tells us their top five favorite music artists. Who do you think is the number one artist that our fans listen to in 2025?
Ooh, Bad Bunny?
He was in there. He was number five. Number one, though, Taylor Swift.
Okay, that was actually my second guess.
Which is, but, you know, it's weird, though, because to me, I don't know how our core demographic of men aged 35 to 44 fit into the Taylor Swift demographic there. So we got some Swifties out there.
Rizzle for Rizzle, you know?
It's more ammunition as to why she needs to come to Centerville Bank Stadium for a game or a concert or just sing the national anthem. Like, she's Rhode Island royalty, and she's welcome both at Centerville Bank Stadium and on the show anytime. But then there's one last final reason. I think you kind of touched on it, but there is also like one last thing there, right?
Yeah, I mean, you know, we owe it to our fans to kind of grow the show. We can't really rest on our laurels here. like I said, the kind of always moving forward kind of mentality that we bring to this.
Yeah, and with that, by the way, one of the things is, and it's no shade thrown on the club, but we are in this privileged but weird position with the organization where we are both the amateur hour and like the light, you know, that's lighting the way when it comes to coverage of Rhode Island FC. I genuinely think that the club did not anticipate that this fan podcast was going to kind of get to the level of gravitas. And maybe I'm giving myself too many flowers here, but
got to pat yourself on the back at some point.
You got to. And I think that like they didn't anticipate that. So we're always in this weird redheaded stepchild situation. And it's awkward because at times where we are the most informed, we are the experts, we are at the pinnacle of both insider information, general fan engagement, community awareness, we're also not the Boston Globe. We're not the Providence Journal. We're not even WPRO, which some of the play-by-play callers and Tom and Nick. So it sometimes gives us a level of restriction to where if we can continue to grow our fan base and we can continue to grow awareness of the radio show here now, it'll give us more leverage in how we can influence and how we can partner with the club. Because right now it's not necessarily always a two-way street. Sometimes it's, here's the bone we're going to throw you. And sometimes it's like us coming up and begging for scraps. So I'd like to see that change. And by doing that, it gives us the ability to give you guys better programming where we want to one day have Kano come on every, you know, Thursday show and give us a 10-minute brief on the week, on what he's planning, or have Coach Spratt come in. And so there's goals, there's ambitious goals behind this, which is why we need it to go there. So whether you love this new format, you hate this new format, if you hate it, either don't tell us or give us constructive feedback on how we can improve it. And if you really hate it and don't want this anymore, start paying our bills. Sponsor the show, and we'll get into a room somewhere and we'll talk numbers. And if that number works, we'll go back to the original format for you and you specifically, and I'm happy to do it.
Servers ain't cheap.
Jason has a price, everyone, and it's not as high as you would think. So anyway, let's get into this here. Jason, the World Cup is coming. I don't know if you know about this thing. Have you heard about the World Cup before?
What's this? Like the whole world plays against each other?
Not the whole world. It's an expanded format this time around, as more teams than ever before are entering into the tournament here inside Canada, United States, and Mexico. But it is coming, and I'm excited. Are you excited?
Absolutely. I'm kind of curious to see how much, depending on it, like if our season's not going very well, or it's just like, you know what I mean? Like, how much do we all of a sudden just become like infatuated with the World Cup and kind of forget that there's a team we're talking about here?
I mean, if that captures our hearts and minds, so be it. There's a chance, we'll get to it a little later, that maybe a player from this squad could potentially make a World Cup appearance here. So that's exciting. But also though, it's going to be tough because there's only three games where Rhode Island is actually kind of mixed up inside the World Cup schedule. We weren't sure at the time if USL, because they said they weren't taking a stoppage, we weren't sure how that would mix in, and it's been pretty clean. There's the Brooklyn match, which is in the USL Cup match at home at Centerville Bank Stadium in July. There's the 4th of July game against Orange County at Centerville Bank Stadium, and there's a game, I think, against Loudoun or Tampa away, right at the beginning, like it's the second or third day of the World Cup. And those are the only ones that could even possibly interfere with a World Cup match. So this could be a very fun June and July for soccer, not just for Rhode Island FC, but also for the World Cup itself.
Yeah, soccer overload for us that month. I'm curious to see if the front office is going to kind of lean into that, to use CBS or any kind of FIFA opportunities there to kind of get some more buy-in and maybe really get people jazzed about the club.
And I mean, if they don't, it's their loss. Patriots Place can only host so many for a FIFA watch party in conjunction with everyone that's going to be inside Gillette Stadium to attend those matches. This could be a perfect spill-off. Again, people don't realize as they travel from international that Rhode Island Providence specifically, is going to be a closer airport option to Gillette then actually going into Logan. It might be difference in flight prices and that kind of stuff, but it could be the better option. Why not make us a professional soccer field a watch destination? I haven't heard anything yet, but I am really excited. And then, of course, there's Bryant University, right, which is still designated as a potential suitor for a national team to go and have a camp and kind of be their strategic home base. We've heard the rumor that it could either be England, France, Brazil, Morocco, Scotland, Haiti, Ghana, or Norway to use that. Basically, a lot of the teams that are cycling through Boston and the New York region. So who knows? Maybe we'll get one of those. I'd like it to be Scotland just because, you know, I've got a personal preference there, but I could easily see Norway because they have a majority of their games nearby. And maybe we'll go see Erling Haaland, score a hattie in practice for funsies. So I'm ready for it. But I got to move on here because we're almost at time and we got to keep these things tight nowadays. Last thing I want to ask you is the ticket controversy. Jason, did you hear about the U.S. men's national team ticket controversy?
I think I missed that one. I mean, there's a general ticket controversy where they're kind of expensive and they threw us a bone, if you will, and released some cheaper tickets. Is there a new one that I missed?
So there are $60 tickets coming, but they have a whole insider tier of how much did you pay to be a U.S. insider? How long have you been a supporter group member? Which we knew that one from the beginning. And all of those things don't give you a priority order. They just give you additional raffle purchases. You have to pay for raffle tickets to be selected for a cut into one of these tiers to get a ticket within the supporters group.
So going to a USMNT game is like playing a gacha game then all of a sudden.
Yeah, it is honestly, it is now literally, and we've heard this about the US system at large when it comes to the youth soccer, it is now pay to win. So you can't ask for anything better than that.
Love to see it.
But final thoughts, I want to ask you before we get on to the next segment and go to break for our sponsors, US men's national team kit thoughts. You love it, you hate it, you're going to buy it?
I mean, I'm okay with them. One of our colleagues at the Blazing Musket said that they look a lot better in person and that the pitchers don't do them justice. So
I really
kind of
enjoyed the
forward to
MAGA Waldo joke versus the Antifa black, which apparently it's not black. It's like a dark navy. So,
yeah, I mean, the fact that it's historic in a sense of it's a World Cup here, you know, I was too young to remember the last one wasn't in soccer. So I'm just going to buy both. Like, I'm not going to lie to myself.
They're better than last World Cup. They're better than last World Cup. Yeah. So it's progress. It's a process improvement. I'm all about it. And then quickly, Hearts of Pine. Is that a coincidence? I learned something about this, you know, Waldo kit reenactment here, but Hearts of Pine release a very similar kit. Is that strategic coincidence or was that planned malfeasance?
I bet that was strategic. And I'm curious if that honestly could be, you know, a very, very smart thing on their part, right? You know, maybe more teams should kind of lean into occasionally just making a nod to the national team. I mean, I don't hate it.
So just for fun fact, I mean, they all said that it was based on a lighthouse that they have. It looks like that. It's very similar, but everyone's referring to it as the Waldo kit. There is a county within Maine called Waldo. And so they are leaning heavily into that. So the time, I mean, again, perfect marketing from Hearts of Pine. They are both a team and a brand, a lifestyle choice. So who knows? Rhode Island FC will have a new kit coming this February to replace the energy kit, which is being put to bed. Unknown if we'll get two kits this season, if we'll also see the energy kit go as well, the road kit, or if it will be sticking around, but we'll have to wait and see. It's going to be an expensive year for buying jerseys. In the meantime, though, we've got to go to break, and when we come back, we've got schedule conversations, we've got a whole lot more Rhode Island FC news to cover, and most importantly, we've got to talk about a tremendous business opportunity on OnlyFans, all here on the Raising Anchor Soccer Show. Jason, what if I told you there is a lucrative investment opportunity that's connecting OnlyFans to soccer?
I don't even know how to respond to that.
I had to be careful about even wanting to talk about this in the first place because, you know, we try to keep ourselves above board as much as we possibly can. But when you see a title like that, you almost kind of have to scratch your head and
that's
go.
That's why I'm just confused.
Tell me more. So apparently The Athletic broke a story earlier last week about the direct correlation that OnlyFans models have an experience when they switch their content from being whatever it is currently to being a model for a specific soccer club all across the world. So suddenly, and the conversion numbers were saying like they saw a 5,000% increase, they saw 30,000 subscribers overnight, and it would just be, I just modeled instead of wearing a t-shirt, a dress, I just wore my Leicester kit, and suddenly 30,000 Leicester fans suddenly were fans on their social media, maybe on their OnlyFans. They didn't get into the numbers of like how that transitioned in terms of the economy, but they interviewed five of these OnlyFans models, and they explained how it transformed their lives, sometimes in a good way, sometimes in a more, you know, a notoriety, right? And like now they've become, you know, the bad luck of why their club is not performing well, looking at you, you know, maybe Southampton, I don't know. But it's really interesting. So where I want to go with this is, who's going to be the first Rhode Island FC OnlyFans model? And should it be us? Because I am not going to discriminate against whether it's a man or a woman. You can be a man on OnlyFans. Do we need to get ahead of this lucrative business model before anyone else?
I mean, hey, these servers ain't getting paid for themselves.
If you guys want to see the Matt and Jason OnlyFans soccer Rhode Island FC calendar, we'll talk. There's a business opportunity for a charity. We'll talk. No promises, but we'll talk. But hey, let's get into real stuff. No one wants to hear about OnlyFans. They want to know about this scheduled conversation while we were out.
Yeah, so when we look at the upcoming season here, 34 games in 2026 split across 17 home, 17 away. So same as last year here. Eastern Conference is expanding with two new teams. Sporting Jacks and Brooklyn FC are real. They're on their way. We did lose North Carolina FC, though. They did cease operations. Maybe there's some sort of auto life thing that will trigger in a few years. That remains to be seen. You know, when we look ahead to this matches, obviously we're excited for El Clamico. What else you kind of piqued your interest there when we look ahead to that schedule?
Fun fact, did you know that El Clamico is perfectly even still? We have two draws and we have two wins, one win for each club. Otherwise, it is perfectly symmetrical still. And then if you count the USL Cup one as well, that ended in a draw. We don't talk about the penalty shootout. That also ended in a draw. So it is still perfectly even by the definition of how soccer is reported. Does that surprise you?
A little bit, because it feels like they kind of had our number this year.
Well, I mean, Hartford fans will say that since they won the Jägermeister match that they now have the advantage. But I digress. I am excited to see some games. Primarily, the two that are jumping off the page to me are actually two teams we have not seen since 2024. The Colorado Springs Switchbacks and Orange County Soccer Club, both coming and traveling to Pawtucket to play us in 2026. We did not do well against either of those teams, famously, in the 2024 USL Cup Final, where I don't even like to think about that, Jason. But
what game was that?
I've been looking for revenge against these two organizations for a very long time. And the fact that because we didn't get to see them last season, which was so odd, by the way, that we did not get a USL Cup Final redux. Like, that was wild to me. I'm so glad that they're back, and they're going to be playing here in Centerville Bank Stadium, and I hope these are goals galore matches, because nothing would make me feel better than to put five on the Switchbacks. They are due. They are due for a beating, and I want J.J. Williams to deliver it personally on a postcard that says turn around, and it's five goals in the back of the net.
Absolutely. You know, I think going forward, if for some reason Tulsa and Pittsburgh are not playing each other, there's definitely a missed opportunity there. And, you know, the league just needs to make those happen. When we look into the like away matches wise, there's going to be a lot now, you know, like Brooklyn. So, and then there's a Hearts of Pine League Cup game. So throwing Hartford there, I mean, there's a lot of local travel that's, you know, not too far. And then we're kind of working on this whole Miami trip that a decent amount of us, I think, are going to go out there, try to, you know, outnumber their fans if possible.
It's only going to take 16 of us, Jason. It's only going to take 16 Rhode Island FC fans to do that. So I agree. I'm really excited. I hope that the club orchestrates some logistical travel for the traveling fans. We always seem to get to like 2 weeks before the game, and then they say, oh, hey, do you guys want a bus? It's like, go and get these buses scheduled now. Find out the audience. Find out how many people want to go and get it worked out. There's a bus sponsor. Academy sponsors the club. Use them. like Breeze sponsors the club. It's on the kit. Use them. And I am really excited. I'm excited. I didn't get to travel to Hearts of Pine last year. I know you did, but it wasn't at their Fitzpatrick.
Yeah, field, I went up to Lewiston. So it'll be cool to go to their actual stadium.
So that's going to be exciting. And then Brooklyn, they're playing in a baseball park in Coney Island. So it's really weird, man, that like Rhode Island FC online 2 years ago. Now it's so long ago now, and they had a stadium to do it, and all of the controversy that happened with that.
When did NYCFC join the league?
They joined in like 2015, and they were playing out of a baseball
where
park.
Where is their stadium?
They still like, are playing out of a baseball
park. It's on
the
way, but like, I think that's just a New York thing.
But it's not just New York. Like Sporting Jacks, they don't have like their own dedicated stadium. Like it's just weird that like we're now 2 years later, and these clubs don't have stadiums coming online with them. Like I hope we get away from that at one point.
Yeah,
and move going. Like build your stadium and then bring the, and then they will come. But anyways, I digress. I agree with you on the away stuff. But speaking of Brooklyn and Sporting Jacks, and we just talked about the stadium infrastructure. Do you think they're even going to have the same impact that we had in our debut? Late signings to their technical staff, so they don't have nearly the same runway to build and construct a roster. And like I haven't even seen a Brooklyn FC signing yet. I think Sporting Jacks finally released a few ex Premier League players, and like I just feels like they're really behind. Do you think that they'll see success in this first year in a league that has, in a conference that has us, has Louisville, Charleston, and this monstrous Tampa Bay that's being constructed down south?
I think they'll probably struggle a little bit this year. You know, I hope for the sake of the league that it's not so bad that like they immediately like regret it. But like, you know, it does feel like it's a little late. So I don't expect any of them to maybe hit the ground running. There's always mid-season acquisitions. Maybe, you know, certain team they can kind of hit a stride midway through, because all you got to do is sneak into that playoff. So
yeah, and I mean Tampa for me, I just gave them so many praises, but I'm also curious if they actually pull this off. We said this exact same thing last year about Birmingham Legion, how they had signed a super squad and they didn't even make the playoffs.
Yeah, and we've seen this other times, right? Like I think when Todd Boehly first bought Chelsea, didn't they buy like 37 players? And we're like, oh wow, this is crazy. And then, you know, they've been a little up and down. So that's a lot of chemistry that's going to have to be built like overnight.
Yeah. So, and for those that are just getting in tune with Rhode Island FC as a club, Rhode Island FC bringing back 20 players, like and most of them are also like with 16 the season before, the same group. Like this is and when you talk chemistry, this may be one of the best chemistry groups in the entirety of the championship. Like at least as far as the players know each other's favorite colors and their favorite foods, like this is a locked in team.
Yeah, we're definitely sitting over here crying about the excitement of new signings, but at the same time, you know, we gotta be, I think, be thankful for the fact that we kept a lot of the core team together, two Eastern Conference finals in a row. I mean, that's nothing to scoff at.
Yeah, so before we go to break here, I'm gonna ask you, who do you think the top four in the East are going to be this season?
Ooh, okay.
And you got to go in order.
Okay, in order. Oh, man. Okay. Let's just YOLO Tampa Bay Rowdies, just for fun. Just to see something different. I don't think this is going to happen. But then Louisville, number two. Charleston, three. RFC, four.
I don't think Charleston make it into the top four this season. I think they are. I mean, both Louisville and Charleston have been hemorrhaging players this offseason. Everyone has been going after them. I think we're also missing the dark horse in Pittsburgh. I think Pittsburgh may actually only get better if they find an upgrade in their offense. So I'm going to say I still think Lou does Lou things,
yeah,
and gets the number one. I think Tampa to number two. I think Rhode Island FC number three and Pittsburgh number four.
I mean, hey, I don't hate it.
Hey, listen, when we get back, we're going to get busy with some international call-ups, and then we're going to deep dive on a signing of a certain player by the name of Leo from a certain team named Inter Miami FC, all here on the Raising Anchor Soccer Show. Jason, let's get busy. What do you got over there, buddy?
Yeah, so Rhode Island FC midfielder Dwayne Atkinson has been called up to the Jamaican Football Federation men's national team for its upcoming friendly against Grenada on January 18th in preparation for their 2026 FIFA World Cup playoff match against New Caledonia in March. Atkinson marks the third active RFC player to receive a senior international call-up to represent his home country.
I know of one, and I know of two. Do you know who the third player is that's been actively called up?
Do we count Anking?
It says active. Anking's no longer on this team.
Okay, so we're talking about literally right now.
We would have to
with a squad. Okay. I don't know.
I don't either. So I'm not sure that straight from the press release from Rhode Island FC. I think they're calling in Anking, which tells me one thing, Jason. Either they're planning on bringing Isaac back, which makes that boy, just Isaac. Delicious. Or we aren't paying close enough attention because there's another player that deserves the credit for having represented their country while being an active Rhode Island FC player. I just can't remember who it would be. And I cannot remember who it would be. So shame on us. But hey, we're shaking off the rust. We're still in that holiday post New Year's cycle.
Dusting off the snow here.
Hey, listen, but speaking of Busy or Dwayne Atkinson, he goes by the name Busy for the uninformed. Are we shocked that he's getting this called up? I mean, he's got 49 goals across 134 appearances with Cavalier FC in the Jamaican Premier League, which, as you know, Jason, is a better league than the USL Championship. I've been seeing a lot of that conversation take place. They are a higher rated league. Do you believe that, by the way?
I've not watched them, so I don't want to kind of besmirch a league that
say it with your chest, buddy.
That I've not paid any attention to, because I know that there are too many US soccer fans who are kind of homers for our own league, but hashtag not MLS soccer show. So that's different. But I'm kind of not surprised. This is not the same Jamaican national team from like 10 years ago, right? Who was a complete threat with Andre Blake in the back, just like blocking everything. They had some big stars playing abroad, but a lot of those guys have gotten a little older. And we've seen recently that they've retained some of their quality, but I think they need a little bit more of a spark up front. Hopefully Busy can kind of make his way into the team. It would be great to have some representation at the World Cup. But at least this is a good honor for him here, and you know, a great nod to the wealth of talent that RFC is able to bring to the squad.
Agreed. I mean, he shows up in big moments, like you were saying. And the one thing I will say that is in his advantage right now is there is an interim head coach with Jamaica right now in the green, black, and gold. It's Coach Rudolph Spade. It steps in because Jamaica failed to automatically qualify, instead having to go through this playoff round now. So there's an interim coach, which means he may be needing to look for ideas that are outside the conventional, you know, coloring lines here. And if he sees something that Atkinson can contribute to, whether it's a starting role or it's an impact sub role, there's an opportunity. I mean, I think there's a real tangibility. We talked earlier that it was Cozera. He could be the first Rhode Islander to ever represent his country as a club player. But now it's kind of all on Atkinson to see if he can pull this off. If he has a strong presence in this camp, even if it's not as a active player, but maybe he just offers something in the training side as like a reservist, there's a real chance that we could see Dwayne Atkinson get called up should Jamaica advance into the World Cup here for this summer. So I'm excited to see it, but we got to move on. The big headline, we got him. We got him, Jason. Leo is here. We signed him from Inter Miami, although he did go to Atlanta United. Most people don't know that, but we've done the impossible. Everyone said it wasn't going to happen, and it has happened. What did it cost Coach Cano to get Leo onto the squad?
Everything. Good old Leo Alfonso, for those of you who have been paying attention.
Let me check my notes. Yeah, okay, Leo Alfonso. Sorry, not that Leo. I apologize.
Yeah, there's another one.
That's got to be a FIFA Ultimate Team joke where like it starts opening and it shows the Inter Miami club badge and then it just says like Leo Alfonso.
I mean, the funny thing is that there's another Leo there too.
Oh, Campania.
I mean, they're hoarding Leos over there. But hey, like, he's an exciting attacking player who's got an eye for goal. You know, he's played in some high level environments recently, got some MLS experience. That's nothing to kind of knock at. We look at some of the previous players who have played there and we can see the quality that they bring to this team. You know, he's got experience at a young age. It'll be invaluable as we build towards having another successful season in 2026, says General Manager Cano. He's a 32nd overall pick in the 2024 MLS Super Draft by Inter Miami after playing at the Philadelphia Union Academy.
Which, by the way, the Union Academy has produced phenomenal of talent. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, that in itself should kind of give you an idea of what quality this player could have. In 2024, he netted 2 goals and 1 assist across 11 appearances with the senior team, helping Miami secure its first MLS Supporter Shield. He's most remembered for his dramatic last-minute goal against the Union from a 9-man Inter Miami that earned him MLS Team of the Match Day honors. After playing a handful of games with Miami in 2025, He was traded to Atlanta United in July for an international roster slot, conditional general allocation money. I mean, that's, isn't that the same time they brought in a bunch of reinforcements to kind of make their push to go for the title? So
it wasn't a DePaul that they needed.
I think it's, yeah, Rodrigo DePaul.
Yeah. So basically you get rid of Afonso to get DePaul. And I mean, you got to make that trade. Sorry, Afonso.
They're about to get,
I'd make that trade for Rhode Island FC in a heartbeat if that was a made a choice.
Yeah. And they're about to, I think, sign Allende to a full, like, you know,
on a non-DP, but hashtag not an MLS soccer show, but yeah.
Hey, there's no rules for that team, but yeah, whatever. You know, he continued to ply his trade in MLS, mostly as rotational option there. I mean, we also, for those of you who've paid attention to Lanny, they kind of have struggled this year. So, but still,
Tata's back though. Who knows? Anything could happen.
But hey, he's ours now.
Sucks to be you, Atlanta. But hey, listen, you, like you said though, I want to ask this question because I like looking into things beyond the performance. This guy helps contribute to a Supporter Shield winning season. And he was on the team at the beginning of the season, so he also gets a ring, having helped participate in earning an MLS Cup. Is it too early to say USL Championship? It's our time. Like, we've got the luck factor now, and we're good to go. And it's a forward. It's our time, right?
I mean, it. I don't know. I mean, this guy was playing with the likes of Luis Suarez and Leo Campana over, you know. So I think in that regards, you know, I'm curious to see what he can bring to the team. Obviously, he's bringing a step down in terms of divisions, but there's clearly some talent there if he was playing with the likes of them.
Yeah, and we know that defenders typically excel at both Division One and Division Two. It's usually where you find talented offense and midfielders, which is really kind of the separation between these leagues. And you're right, but before we move on, I guess the question is it a factor of this was an understudy to Suarez and Campana? Or is this guy washed up and he's just moving down a division? Because you know people are already talking about that online.
That's just the MLS haters. You know, like they're gonna, you know, do whatever they can to bring everyone else down with them.
That's fair. I did do a quick little bit of reconnaissance on him as a player. Primarily you'll see him if you go and do any kind of stats investigation yourself. He's historically a left winger. He's an inverted left winger, I should say, too, at that. He's got a pretty good explosion rate, a really good high mobility play style. He loves combination play. In a lot of the highlight reels, he's a lot of give and go. He's got really strategic ball movement. And he also, like the way Miami was using, I didn't see it as much because he was kind of relegated into a different role with Atlanta in the few games he had. But he's a good presser. But the thing I saw the most is he's one of those secondary strikers because since he's inverted, when he starts cutting in and tucking in, he's that guy that shows up late to the box. And he doesn't always take a shot, but he'll redistribute the ball. He'll keep possession. He'll cycle it through, and he'll keep the attack in that final area. And it's something I think that we miss at times when JJ has been like the lone profile up top, where he'll trap a ball, he'll hold onto a ball. He has no secondary runners because everyone's so far back. I don't know if we'll use him on the left. We have so much attack there already with Jorge Quisera. No, if you saw, also plays as an inverted winger on that side, and Dwayne Atkinson is kind of more comfortable on the left. He's right-footed. I could see him actually occupying the space of like the right winger we never had and being more of a chance creator for the club if we use him as a winger. His aerial duels, not so great, even though he's 5'11". That's still very much going to be a J.J. Williams territory. But again, if he's not on the wings, he could be tucked in really nice because, again, his pass control, his ball holding, it's pretty solid. So I could easily see him being a secondary striker, not a false nine, but just something that would, he could complement Chico, who could be that fox in the box, or J.J. being that more target center forward. There's a lot of option, but I see him shifting more to the right side here and being kind of a hybrid striker winger that we haven't really seen out of that channel. We've played so many different players over there, Jason. This feels right. Is this the right kind of move that we needed to have on that right side of the attack? Was this what was missing?
I think so. You know, we look at last season and, hey, we made it to the Eastern Conference Finals. You can't take that away from us. But in the same vein, we were the fourth lowest scoring team in the league. And I think that this team, you know, when you think about how, if we want to go all the way, we're going to need to score some more goals, right? So, and also in the terms of like the casual fans want to see some goals, right, at Centerville Bank Stadium. So, and that was kind of hard to come by early on in the season. So hopefully he can bring some attacking threat to, you know, to this team early on in the season.
Yeah. And so finally, when we get back, we got one last break here for sponsors. We're going to talk about kind of signings on the way, what this club still needs ahead of this offseason going into preseason, and kind of wrap things up when we get back on the Raising Anchor Soccer Show. All right, Jason, we have our first signing. It's a forward. Lots of people were scared there would be oops, all defenders all over again. I feel like Leo fills the Mark Doyle gap we didn't have at the beginning of last season. Those reinforcements in Atkinson came far too late into the season. We now have a complete strike force on the front, whether that's to hold JJ and Chico accountable and hold them honest and competitive, or he immediately makes a splash impact getting into that lineup, starting 18 or not. I feel like this is the first big step and move. What are the do you agree with that first and foremost? And then what are the other moves we need to still make in this offseason?
Yeah, no, I think this is a good first move. Looking at the rest of the squad, we played basically all of last year without a recognized right back or right midfielder to a certain extent. So I think that is definitely a gap we need to fill. We did keep Danny Rivera. I would love to see him get some more opportunity, maybe integrate into this team instead of just some like 10 minutes here and there. But then, you know, we're not sure in some of the midfield, right? Is Merrick Ibarra coming back? Is he not? We don't know.
They are going to wait until
that's going to be a last minute signing there. If we return him, if not, then, you know, we saw a lot of flexibility from Bacharach, but then if he becomes a full-time midfielder, do we need to have another reinforcement in the back line? We lost some goalkeepers. We need some reinforcement there. So there's still a few more pieces. I think the pressing issue would be someone on the right side, someone to recognize right-sided player. So we don't have to kind of push Clay out wide and just like, what's the rotation of the week?
I agree. Now we've seen some rumors within the internet, the interwebs, as they say, a player out of the Premier League or the Argentinian Premier Division in Velez. I don't know if we even want to talk about it because I don't know how close this is to being something that happens, but Isaias Andrada out of Velez, a right back, a fullback, right midfielder. I see this player as potential for being a right wing back in Kano's system. He is a player that, according to some people that cover the clubs in the league, he's already signed a contract for a multi-year deal with a sell-on clause with Rhode Island FC. I've reached out to the club. They've not commented on anything to that capacity yet. So whatever the case is, we'll have to wait and see. But, you know, is that a player? I'm sure you watched some of his tape already. Is that a player profile that we should be anticipating for, or does he not fit quite the bill of what we're looking to have?
Yeah, it's interesting. I did watch a little bit of his tape. It's being reported by an Argentinian influencer who covers the league down there that, you know, he's already on his way. From what I could tell, I saw a lot of interesting, kind of exciting attack there. I still think you want to have someone who can kind of do some of the dirty work too. And I just don't know if I didn't see if that's in his locker yet, or maybe he's still young enough that could be developed. Or is that Danny Rivera's job? Like someone who's maybe slightly more right back, right wing back.
We definitely need another right back. I mean, you think about Rivera was not brought on to start. He was brought on to augment Stephen Turnbull, who was a very last minute scratch. I'm still not convinced that was a planned departure and that there was some other mechanisms there. So I agree. Do we need a fullback or a right wing back? Do we need someone that can jump or join the attack, or do we need someone that can get into the attack from the back?
I mean, a little bit of both, honestly.
We have Rivera. So, like, do we want someone that's different from Rivera's play style, or do we just want who's ever the best that we can go out and grab?
I mean, I guess if we, like, we saw a lot of experimentation, right, with Frank going out to the right. Is he just our defensive option for that?
I think he's glue. I think they'd rather see him in the center line, to be honest. I don't see it. So it's a curiosity.
Yeah,
we'll have to wait and see. But the other question to this, too, is we have 20 players coming back. We now have 21 with the signing of Leo Afonso. We know the only position right now that we need to have is another goalkeeper. We probably should have two. We don't know the status of Will Meyer. But assuming we end up with only 23 players on this roster, and I'm sure we'll get to 24 or 25, should Kano hold off on filling the remaining slots? Again, we unloaded Maxi Rodriguez, the marquee signing of 2025, and like that was either a big budget cut loss or that was like we paid for him to go. I'm not sure what. I mean, they said there was a transfer fee to it, but does Kano go and get those moves now to get out the gate, or does Kano wait and see post World Cup, post, you know, the break in the middle of the season on what he needs to do to tinker with the squad?
I mean, you could definitely see the argument for that, especially with the way that Kano's proven himself to be phenomenal at midseason signings to kind of really augment the team. It seems like he has an eye for realizing, like, oh, you know, a few months in, what do I need to tweak my team to make them play the way I want? Okay, go out and get these two, three guys. Boom. All of a sudden, second season surges. So we've seen that twice in a row. So he's clearly got an eye for that. But also with the way that we saw injuries last year, I don't know if that's something we want to chance. Maybe we don't fill out the roster too much, but definitely at least, like, you know, two to three more at minimum, if not four. You know, I mean, I'd be curious to see too with the World Cup. I don't know how that's going to affect player availability. I think probably at a USL soccer championship level, if we're being massively honest with ourselves, massively. But, like, you know, I don't think that's going to probably affect it too much, but it might be something that, you know, their teams are keeping in mind.
Well, we'll have to see, and we can't wait to see what happens this season. Next time on the show, we'll make sure that we cover the ongoing discussion about the CBA and the impact that may or may not have on the championship. But plenty of more signings are coming, I imagine. Plenty of more news to be talking about in this offseason as we get you all ready for Rhode Island FC's home opener against Loudoun. Just I'll get the countdown of number of days by the next show.
58, but like, or something?
Like something like that. But we'll get it ready, and then we'll talk about the preseason travel schedule, which still hasn't released. But until then, I'm Matt Entrekin. This is Jason Carey, and we'll catch you guys next time. Anchors up.
Anchors up.